Hello everyone and welcome back to The Board Gaming Doctor. My name is Phil and I'll be your Board Game Doctor today. In this episode, I give you my first impressions of a Kickstarter game, or a couple of games on right now, in Cascadia Rolling Rivers and Cascadia Rolling Hills. These are designed by Randy Flynn, art by Beth Sobel, published by Flatout Games and AEG. This is a game for 1-4 players, although if you combine both of these, you can play up to 8. And essentially, since this is a roll-and-write game, you can play however many people you want, honestly. The game takes 15 to 30 minutes to play. Its complexity is not listed on BoardGameGeek yet, since this is brand new and on Kickstarter, but it is a lightweight game. Its ranking and rating are not listed as well, once again due to it being a very new game. As a quick overview, in this game you have 20 rounds to collect wildlife resources through dice rolls, spending them to fulfill habitat of card objectives, and filling out your personal environment sheet for points and bonuses along the way. The player with the most points wins. So some game highlights to further explain these mechanisms. First, the dice mitigation. In this game, whenever you roll the dice, you gather as many of one type of wildlife resource as you can, based on what is face up on that dice. These wildlife tokens or resources are listed in descending order from bears and elk all the way down to salmon. As in most roll and writes these days, ways to mitigate the dice rolls are crucial for success as well as strategic decision making. And in this game, it borrows from the parent game, the nature tokens, which can convert the dice faces in different ways in order to pick up more of a single type of wildlife or even multiple types. There is a special die that allows you to take certain bonuses too. Second, the habitat scoring. The way that points are scored on your environment sheet, as well as the sort of timer of the game, come from fulfilling the requirements of habitat cards. The feature in this game is that you start with one habitat available, then in the next round another habitat joins the row. On round 5, after you flip over the 5th habitat card, the very first one is discarded and pushed out of the way. Therefore, you only have a few rounds to try and fulfill certain habitats before they are gone. Plus, the game randomly assigns bonuses or discounts for the column these habitat cards populate as they go, and so part of the puzzle is fulfilling a habitat card on the right column as soon as you can to gain the best benefits you want at the time. Third, the environment sheet and its variations. This game can be considered a series, as both Rolling Rivers and Rolling Hills feature different types of environment sheets you can fill out from game to game. There are 4 in each box for a total of 8. They vary in difficulty and they essentially give you new ways to approach the game and different bonuses to unlock. Finally, the solo scenarios. This game features different scenarios or scores that you can beat in certain ways to give you different challenges to beat on a solo level. This is a similar feature that was seen in past games from this publishing team, including Cascadia. Now for some game comparisons. Obviously, the first comparison that I want to make is to the base game, parent game, Cascadia. Some similarities from the parent game to the Roll and Write version, like besides the theme and art, include the sense of trying to fulfill objectives, the variations in objectives that you try to fulfill game to game, and the use of the nature tokens to mitigate the randomness in each game. Otherwise, both games feel different enough from each other and use different mechanisms. You sacrifice the tile-laying, wildlife, and habitat token dual-drafting mechanisms from the base game for dice rolling and mitigation, resource management for the roll-and-write version. The next game I want to compare is Rolling Realms. Both games rely heavily on sharing dice roll results, dice mitigation through personal resources, and resource management to fulfill a variety of requirements found on cards that are varied from game to game. In the Cascadia Rolling series, it seems that these objectives come and go a lot quicker as they are discarded after a few rounds, whereas in Rolling Realms you have 9 turns to complete as many of the cards' objectives to the fullest as possible to get as many stars and points from them as possible before you move on to another set of three different cards in the round. Technically, Cascadia Rolling is 20 turns long and Rolling Realms is 27, so Cascadia could end up being a slightly quicker game. There are other Roll and Writes that I could compare this game to as well, but my last one is the Roll and Write from Uwe Rosenberg, Second Chance. Not a lot of people know that he did a flip and write back in 2019, so recently. It follows his polyomino game style by flipping over 2 cards with polyomino shapes, and you choose one to draw it in a blank 9x9 grid. If you can't draw a shape from the two cards, you can draw a personal card as a second chance, and hopefully continue in the game with that lucky card. The last player to be left, or in other words, the last person who is able to draw in a shape, wins the game. So there's kind of an element of player elimination here. And that's the game. So other than being itself a flip and write game, there's very little similarity between this and Cascadia rolling. But the element of flipping over habitat cards and trying to fulfill them as best as you can is kind of reminiscent of what happens in Second Chance. I'm going to move on to my first impressions now, since there's not much to review as far as peer review goes, since this game is brand new, and most of the comments are coming from reviewers who either are paid to talk about this game or have been asked to. And so to avoid as much bias as possible, I'm going to avoid talking about those at this moment. You can go ahead to the Kickstarter and check those out for yourself. But my first impressions, having not been asked and having played this and demoed this on Tabletopia, which is available also through a link on the Kickstarter, is that, and I should mention that I'm reviewing this based on the mechanisms alone in the Roll and Write version and strictly on the gameplay therein, not necessarily any of the thematic or mechanical tie-ins from the base game, since the both games do feel very different from each other, and there's very little carried over except for the art, the theme, and some minor mechanisms here and there. I find that this game offers a lot of tense decisions each round, especially because of how fast those habitat cards go by. By rounds 3 or 4, you start to have more options available to you, and the choices each round are, do I collect certain animals to fulfill habitat cards that are nearing the end of the habitat row to try to at least get one of those fulfilled and add that to your environment sheet, or do I try to double down on resources to hit some of the earlier habitats that are coming out near the beginning a few times, and also follow that route down your environment card and getting bonuses there. I felt like at first, you know, in the first round or two or three rounds, it was like, okay, I roll the dice and I kind of gather as many resources as I can, as many of a certain type of wildlife as I can, and then later on those decisions get a little bit more muddled, which was pleasantly agonizing. And this all depends on what is given with the dice, you know, overall, as well as what's on your environment sheet. I appreciate the agonizing decisions that you need to make each turn, but as Roll and Write should do for the most part, the time that it takes to make these decisions, as well as the sheer amount of decisions to be made, are limited to the 20 rounds, in addition to just the scope of what decisions can be made each round. You know, you only have a handful, two or three different types of wildlife that you can take from the dice, and three or four different habitats that you could probably fulfill a couple of areas on your environment sheet to pursue. It's not going to be as heavyweight the amount of decisions that you need to make in a Roll and Write game such as Hadrian's Wall. There is a good amount of tense decision making in a relatively short amount of time that I find rewarding in this game, and the opportunity to save up and make big combos for that one habitat that you've been saving up for when it hits the right column with a certain benefit that you want feels really good to pull off. Would I play this game above any other Roll and Writes that I enjoy? I find this game pretty near the top of what I consider a really good Roll and Write for myself. I find that this game at first blush to be just as good as Rolling Realms, which is probably my favorite Roll and Write and my go-to right now. And it has the potential to become as varied as Rolling Realms is today. While a touch bit longer to play, Rolling Realms does a great job at celebrating different games and converting their theme and mechanisms into little Roll and Write modules, which tugs at me more to explore than Cascadia Rolling does initially, just because of that somewhat thematic tie-in in a Roll and Write game. The sheer variety of realm combinations, too, in my mind beats out the variety that is put forth initially in Rolling, Cascadia Rolling, but time will tell if additional entries into the series makes the game just as variable. Would I play this Roll and Write or the parent Cascadia game? I think I would go for Cascadia, the base game, and I believe that is the case because of how the game looks at the end of the game on the table. You get to do different things in Cascadia, with tile and token placement, that drafting system, and you get an interesting tableau to look at in comparison with your board to other players' boards, while fulfilling different objectives, like you do in Rolling, Cascadia Rolling, along the way. The variable objectives that you have for each wildlife type scratch that same itch as the habitat cards and environment sheets in Rolling for me. I haven't played with the Landmarks expansion for base Cascadia, but I suppose that it would give more replayability and variability to the game too. So, in sum, I find myself more often drawn to the base game of Cascadia the more I think about the comparison, for the tile laying and the tableau building, rather than pulling out a roll and write, because the payoff at the end of the day looks better with a tableau full of tiles that you've assembled, rather than a sheet with numbers and, you know, things crossed off on it. If I were to choose a roll and write to introduce to others, I would probably go with Cascadia Rolling, because it does what a solid roll and write does these days, with an inviting theme and tough decisions that gamers and non-gamers would like, in my opinion. If I'm in a crowd, you know, of board game enthusiasts, then Rolling Realms would make sense to me if I were to play a roll and write game. However, the game goes really well with people not invested in the hobby anyway, speaking of Rolling Realms, and so I might choose that anyway. But I would recommend either game to folks, either Rolling Realms or Cascadia Rolling, who want to try a roll and write but perhaps are drawn towards one theme or the other. If they are familiar with board games, then obviously Rolling Realms could make sense if they're, you know, exposed to Wingspan or other games of that ilk. But if they really enjoy the theme and the vibe that Cascadia gives off, and you don't have the ability to play with the base game, say you're traveling and you still want to have some sort of environment that gives you an opportunity to play in the realm of Cascadia, then this Cascadia Rolling, I think, is worth a go and will fulfill that desire. So those are my first impressions on Cascadia Rolling. Thank you for listening and consulting with me, and hope that you schedule an appointment with me real soon. Take care.